Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. We are back live on a Wednesday night here on Real Liberty Media. If you want to join the conversation, get into reallibertymedia.com. Get in the chat room, say hello. You know, just start some conversation or just watch what's going on. Be a troll for a while. Just see what's going on in there. A lot of good information comes in that site. Hey, I also wanted to say, you know, I love doing this podcast. I share information that helps me, and I hope it helps you too. But what I really want to convey is if you're doing everything that you can do to, like, take care of yourself, to claim your own independence, to not be, like, dependent on whatever is going to be thrown at us. In other words, you know, if you have some food plans, if you have water plans, if you have shelter plans, if you have some survival plans, good on you. I appreciate that. And anytime you want to share those, you know, any of your tips with me, I'd appreciate that too. I have a ton of updates. It's surprising how in such a short time so many things can change. And I think most people who listen to Redneck Dentist podcast know that I had a catastrophic failure last week. Windows bit me again. And I'm not going to get into a lot of detail, but let's just say this. I have a dual boot system, Windows on one side, Linux on the other side. I had to go to the Windows side for a minute. Windows did an update and it changed the format of my Linux drive to NTFS, and it took my permissions away so I couldn't access the drive. Now, I've noticed, I did some research, I probably could have recovered the whole thing, but I didn't. I just started clean, fresh, everything is new, so I hope everything is working well. I guess we'll find out when it's all said and done, but I'm happy to be back to normal as far as my tech goes, so I'm pretty happy about that. And before my phone makes some noise, I'm going to shut it down. Sorry about this little... Oh, it did it anyway. Caught me at the last second. Okay, so let's see. I did want to tell you one thing funny I saw today that really kind of made me laugh, just because there's brought so many images to mind about what people would actually care about this. And that is, I was watching a guy play a video game on YouTube because I wanted to see if this was a video game I'd be interested in playing. Well, so he's starting a playthrough, what they call a playthrough. So he, you know, he's going to start the game and just pretend like he's never played it before, and you're just going to kind of go along for the ride. Well, as he's selecting the character, building his character, it actually asked him what pronouns he preferred. And I thought it was so funny because I was just thinking of the people. I just had this, I have this preconceived idea of what people would actually have to have their pronouns correct in a video game. You know. So I'll let your own mind wander and your own imagination kind of figure out what I was thinking. But, oh my gosh, it was just, it was so funny. At first I was like, oh, well, I'm not going to get this video. Because the video game asks, what pronoun do you prefer to go by? And I'm just thinking to myself, oh my God, it's a freaking video game, for God's sake. But, you know, you gotta take what you can, I guess. I wanted to see one more thing. Oh yeah. Make sure that's, oh yeah. Yeah, man. Everything's working. That's good. I like that. I'm gonna minimize that now. Get that out of the way. All right. You ready for the ride? Man, we have had some discussions here lately about food and thinking about all the possibilities of, you know, like generating our own food, like meat and vegetables and fruit. I mean, luckily, you know, our fruit has been handled for a few years now. And every year we add a couple things, but we're already getting fruit, which is good because it takes a long time to get fruit. It's one of those things that I don't think you can just go, hey, I'm gonna have some apples this year. Well, no, you're not. If you don't have an apple tree all ready to go, you're not gonna have apples this year. I mean, yeah, you can go buy apples, you could go pick apples, you can find apples, but you're not gonna be growing any apples this year. So, but we did kind of start thinking about the other parts, the meat and the vegetable part. Now, last year we had a pretty decent garden. We weren't really thinking that, you know, that we would all be starving in the next year or two. So it was just a garden, just like a regular yearly garden. We plant whatever we want, you know, to enjoy for the growing season. And it worked out really well. Thank God, because this year now we're like, okay, we got to expand the garden area. So we're probably going to triple the garden area. And there's a couple reasons for that. One is, the blueberries, which borders one side of the garden, and the raspberries, which is perpendicular to that and borders another side of the garden, they're all mature, healthy plants now. And they haven't always, I mean, they just have reached that point of maturity. So they're going to start taking over part of the area that we tilled up before. So that's one reason. And the other reason is we're thinking, yeah, we need to put some food, you know, on the table. We need to put some food in the ground, grow our own. So if there's a shortage of this, that, or the other thing, well, we will have our own. So I wanted to tell you about one addition we have to the, you know, setup of machines here on the homestead is we bought a 100-pound spreader. Actually, I could be exaggerating. It might be a 50-pound spreader, but it's either a 50 or 100-pound spreader, and that's for seed and fertilizer. So instead of the little hand crank one we were using on our 5 acres, now we have one that'll attach to the quad, it'll attach to the Tuatara. That's that rig I bought a few months ago. And it has a remote switch, so you don't have to be holding the thing and looking at it. You can just drive along, one person, hit the switch, and you're spreading seed or fertilizer. And that's going to work out really good. And by the way, I do want to make sure everybody understands this. Like, my wife and my daughter are the ones who really take care of the food raising here. I probably do a very small part of the labor, like if they need a tractor, if they need some tilling, if they need posts either put in or taken out. You know, or they want to run some ideas by me so I can help them solve a problem. I do that kind of stuff, but I'm working, you know, hours a day, 3-4 days a week. So they're here, you know, pretty much 24/7. So they take care of all that stuff. You know, they kind of do the daily maintenance of garden and food raising. So one thing I was thinking about last night, a few weeks ago, I talked about the three meats I think that you should consider raising yourself because they're easy, and that was chickens, rabbits, and goats. Goats, really good red meat, and it's actually red meat that's also good for you. Rabbit, of course, is kind of a red-white meat, I guess. I mean, I consider it a white meat, but I've heard some people say it's not poultry, so it's, you know, mammalian, it's red meat. And then chicken, of course, is white meat. My wife and I were talking about this last night because I was telling her, I was like, maybe we ought to get a couple rabbits because you can produce a lot of meat with two rabbits. They have a litter of, a couple to a dozen, kits, and, it takes you a few weeks to get them, 2 months, I think, to get to a couple pound and a half, 2 pound rabbit where you can butcher them yourself. They butcher really easy. I mean, they're easy to kill. They're easy to skin. They're easy to clean. And then you, rinse and repeat. Just do that over again. So we were thinking about that, and then we actually kind of came to this decision. It'll be better, well, less, like one, having one less animal to take care of, I mean, type of animal to take care of, is probably a good thing. It can be. I mean, it'd be cool to have rabbits and have a little different meat, but we already have enough going on with the chickens, the garden, the fruit trees, and we actually planted the north pasture yesterday with a protein mix for the deer around here so they can put on some, put on some weight also. And the reason for that is usually we'll take one or two deer during bow season. Right off the property, because I mean, like, why go hunting if you can just shoot them right in your yard, hang them up, dress them, and butcher them yourself and have the meat? I mean, it doesn't get much easier than that. Now, of course, if times get really hellacious, people are going to kill these deer like crazy. I know there'll be poaching of all kinds going on up here, and then we'll be kind of screwed. But if that doesn't happen, we're going to have a bunch of rabbits, I mean, a bunch of deer that are healthy and have a lot of meat on them, and maybe some decent antlers too, I don't know. So what we're going to do is we are going to probably take, I think we're going to take 6 or 8 eggs a month and hatch them out. Well, number one, we are going to buy a different kind of chicken, probably 4 to 6 hens of a certain breed of chicken. It's just actually, it's a kind of a mixed purpose breed. It will lay eggs and it'll produce meat. Not as much meat as a pure meat bird, but it'll produce some meat. So then, like every month, we'll take 4 to 8 eggs. We'll hatch them out. It takes 6 weeks, 8 weeks to get them to butchering size. And then we'll butcher them and we will just kind of be our own meat factory by, hatching these chickens out. And hopefully, these chickens have a different colored egg and we'll probably look for that. There's a number of chickens that can be dual purpose egg and meat. And if that's the case, we'll find one that has a different colored egg than the eggs that our chickens currently lay, which are brown and turquoise, because we have Americanas that lay like a turquoise or light blue egg. So, and if our meat birds laid white eggs, then we would know which eggs when we go down to collect, we'll know which eggs we need to put in the incubator to hatch out for meat. But that's going to be our solution for meat on the homestead this year and for the coming year. And we are still raising some pure meat birds, but we were thinking, okay, when people catch on that, times are going to be tough, they're going to start hitting this, these poultry breeders pretty quickly. And, there may be a shortage of meat birds. I mean, I would think a lot of people would be like, hey, we gotta raise our own chickens because, they're too expensive in the store. We can't get them in the store, a multitude of reasons why you should raise your own. And I actually saw it last weekend when we picked up our meat birds. There was a small line of people waiting because those meat birds just came in, the chicks. And there was a small line of people waiting, and everybody who was talking about it was talking about the same thing. Like, yeah, we don't know what's coming, so we're going to get some chickens and raise them ourselves and, you know, butcher them ourselves or take them to the local butcher or whatever. But anyway, that's going to be one of our solutions. Oh, speaking of, let me get a drink here real quick. Having a medicine ball tonight. Oh, and I did kind of want to apologize ahead of time for my voice. Because if you've listened to the show, the podcast in the past month or, 2 months, you've heard about the knuckleheads next to my office who are trying to pull a house down with Hyundai. And anyway, they've kind of succeeded in getting, tearing that house down, but now they've decided they're just going to burn everything right on the spot. And so the smoke kind of started pumping into our office. This is not the first time. They've done it for a few weeks. And this afternoon, the smoke started coming in our, you know, circulation system. And it was just like my voice was getting kind of shot by the end of the day. So I was thinking, man, I'm going to have a tough time getting through the show tonight. But I have my medicine ball here. That's going to help. I have a little icy refreshment also. Oh, and both of them are delicious. So, so I was talking about chickens. I got to tell you guys a horror story, and I will post this in the show notes. Rochelle was saying she thought there was a rat in the chicken coop. Now, 2 years ago, we had rats in the chicken coop, and there's a certain recipe we use to get rid of rats. It's not really poison, but it will pretty much kill anything that eats it. So I don't know if you would consider that a poison or not. It's actually, I'm going to tell you guys, might as well. So it's actually peanut M&Ms, oats, and Kwikset plaster. Five minute patch or 5 minute cement, they call it. I don't know. It's plaster, but it's Kwikset. Anyway, you crush up the peanut M&Ms and use a third cup of that and a third cup of oats and a third cup of that 5 minute plaster. And then you mix those three together and you just put it in a pile. I put it in a container like a big Rubbermaid container that I've cut a hole in large enough for a rat to get in because I don't want the dogs to get in there or anything. I just want rodents to be able to get in there. And they go in and eat the stuff, and then they go back to their little nest or whatever, and they start screaming like crazy until that stuff hardens in their gut, and that's pretty much it. And yes, it works kind of incredibly fast. But let me tell you, this is so funny. So Rochelle has been saying she thought that there was a rat in the chicken coop because she just had been seeing signs of, you know, something funny going on in there. So she put some game cameras down there, and she sent me a picture of this rat. And I am not kidding. This rat was so big. When I first looked at it, I thought it was a possum. Like, the body of this thing was so big. And we actually have some video of it too, and I'll post that probably on Imgur, and so you can have a look. But and it's funny because people who aren't like from the country, like, you know, and everybody, even us, even we think rats suck. You know, it's like, oh God, we got rats. It kind of makes it sound like you're dirty, you know, like you have, you know, like you don't keep your property up, so you have rats. But you know what? If you have a compost pile, if you're feeding your chickens your table scrap, vegetable only, if you're feeding them every day that stuff, eventually a rat's going to find it. I mean, that's just the way rats are. They're going to find it. So anyway, we got to take care of this rat. And, you know, get rid of it because we have the meat birds right now in the bathtub. Well, they're in their own container, but the container is in the bathtub. And we do that for a couple weeks just to make sure that they're stable and they're going to survive. And then we're going to put them, then we are going to put them down in the chicken coop in their own section. But if that rat, gets a hold of those chicks, he'll just eat them. That's all there is to it. I know they're not really carnivorous, but I think they're omnivorous. They're omnivores. They'll eat whatever they can get their mouths on. And this frickin' rat is a giant. So, not sure what this rat won't eat. But anyway, we got to get rid of it. So that's that. The rat's got to go. Oh, I got to tell you a little funny story about that too. So yesterday, Rochelle had her son come over because he wasn't working yesterday. He's a contractor. And she had him come over and ask him to tear the interior walls out of the chicken coop, which we've done on, well, two parts of the chicken coop. And there was just one third of the building left, one room, separate room. And sure enough, that's where that rat was. So Scotty went down there and did some demolition. And then the kids were down there kind of looking for the rat, and the freaking rat came out, and the kids started like screaming and trying to kill the rat with some sticks. Like they were trying to spear it and trying to club it, and the rat's running all over the place. And it went into the area where Scott had been working, kind of been a, like a covey. And so then the kids were like, oh, it's gone. And it immediately came out and kind of charged straight toward them. And they just went screaming down the hill. They came out of the chicken coop and ran straight down to the implement barn, the implement building where we keep our cars and trucks, tractors and stuff. And I guess it was pretty damn funny. I didn't get to see it, but Rochelle was telling me and she was just laughing her butt off. So that was pretty funny. Oh, so that, and so also I was kind of telling you about expanding the garden area, and we're going to rent a tiller because we don't actually, we do own a tiller, but it's a really small one. And we could use it, but here's the deal. It's a small tiller for a small garden tractor. And if you've ever tried to till clay soil, you would know that. I mean, I remember when I used to do it with that rig. So we have handed that rig down to Crystal and Sheck. But, and that thing's got to be like 20 years old. I'm surprised it's still going. It was the Deere knockoff. Used to be, or it's a knockoff called the Saber. I don't even know if John Deere is doing that anymore. But you could tell it's exact same parts, exact same green, just a different label on it. Anyway, when I used to till with that thing 20 years ago, I called it like the homestead rodeo, man, because you would drop those tines on the clay and it was like a bucking bronco and you couldn't even stop it with the brake. You had to literally disengage the tines and then the brake would stop you. Like you could mash the brake all the way to the floor and the tines digging into that hard clay would just keep propelling you forward. And the tines would just bounce on that hard clay and you would just be rocking and rolling and bucking on this little Saber tractor hanging on for dear life. It's much better now with the big John Deere tractor. Like you drop those tines in the soil, you don't even feel it. It's just like cutting through butter because the tractor's so big and heavy. Yeah, nothing. Yeah, I mean, maybe when you hit a really big stone, you'll get kind of a buck out of it. Not a buck, really. You'll just hear it kind of clunk, and you'll feel the weight of that freaking boulder kind of thump through the tines. But it's much better. So anyway, we're renting a tiller. So this is all what's going to happen with the garden. I have to go down and pull all the T-posts where we have it lined out for the garden now. We're going to extend it to a rectangle. Right now it's a triangle because that's what we wanted to contribute last year, was this one piece of the south pasture, and now we're going to make it a rectangle. So we're basically doubling the size of the garden, kind of open up the, you know, the opposite triangle to make it a rectangle. So I'll pull the T-post, we'll move all the fence, we'll move all the T-post, make it a rectangle, we'll put the fencing back up, the 8-foot deer fencing, because yeah, they can jump 7 feet, a 7-foot fence easy. So we'll put the 8-foot fence up, then we'll till the new area, and then we'll, with the rented tiller, because that'll be the commercial size tiller, and then we'll go over and hand till as we're planting, and when we're trying to weed and maintain the rows, we'll use a little hand tiller that's just 8-12 inches wide and handheld. It's really easy to till with that. So, and then, and then we'll just be putting in there, you know, it's too early here in Oregon you can start some stuff, but our last average frost, I think, is like the first week of May. So anything that would be killed by a frost, you don't really want to put in the ground outside, you know, which means you can take a chance. But most people just wait until the first week of May, that's here in Oregon, and, put the crops out that would be damaged by a frost. So, you know, let's say by the end of the first week of May, we'll start putting stuff in the ground that's going to be in there until it's ripe and ready to go. And we'll probably rotate some crops through there too, so that we are constantly generating no fresh vegetables. Drink time. All right, I think that should cover. Yeah. I think that covers the homestead stuff for the day. Let's see. There was something really crazy I heard today I wanted to talk about. There's been some things that I wanted to kind of talk about that just irritating stuff. Like, I don't know if you guys get this, political crap that comes in, you know, your junk mail, your junk email, like Gmail. That's my junk email. And the political begging right now just drives me crazy because, you know, whichever side they're on, whichever side they're coming from, they're just begging you for money because your money is what's going to make the difference in the election. And it's so funny. Some of them are just like, we see that you haven't donated $5 yet. We really could use your $5 one-time donation. If I don't get it tonight, my opponent's going to clobber us tomorrow. They've raised so much money, blah, blah, blah. And I just think to myself, look, you guys have had years to actually do something, and yet you continue not to do the right thing. Both sides, or all three sides, or all five sides, however many sides there are in politics, they all aren't doing the right things, except maybe the libertarians. I like them a lot. But they're still politicians. So you get what you pay for, I guess. Literally. So politically, what else is going on? Oh, the judge. Oh, yeah, I know. There's a few things I really wanted to get off my chest. The judge, whatever her name is, doesn't matter, really. This is a done deal. I don't even know why we're going through this confirmation hearing crap. I mean, one thing that's been good is she's been exposed as a complete freaking idiot, which is obvious. You know, She didn't know about human rights stuff. She doesn't know about women's rights stuff. Oh, by the way, women's rights stuff. Rachel Levine and that swimmer. It's like the most ridiculous thing that I've ever seen. Now, here's what really bothers me about this whole thing. So you remember the women's rights movement, the actual movement where we actually cared about women's rights, like getting them the right to vote, trying to get them equal pay, you know, elevating them to an equal partner in society, basically. And then what's happened? Think seriously about what has happened. Men have usurped that entire movement. Does that make any sense whatsoever? Like, literally, does that make any sense whatsoever that somehow we went from, you know, trying to get women and men equal rights under the sun, all, you know, evenly paid for the same job, all that stuff. And then you have men, and I'm not going to call them whatever they want to be called. They're biological males that are stealing their thunder. The guy who won the NCAA swimming 500 meter event, he's a monster compared to the other women, biological women who were in the event. And he's stealing the show. I mean, sometimes I wonder if it isn't just a joke. Like, if it's a guy who's just trying to prove a point. Like, okay, you women want to be equal with us men? Well, here's your chance. And so he goes and competes and shows them that they're not equal. You know? Like, he wasn't a competitive swimmer, I guess. Like, he didn't win events as a male. So he just went to the female side and, you know, started beating up on them. And it happened in MMA sports too. The same thing happened. A guy just went in there and beat the hell out of women. And I mean, it's not even fair. It's not like Billie Jean King, you know, when she did her thing. And beat, I forget the guy's name. Billie Jean is the one I remember. Oh God, what was that guy's name? Oh well, you guys all, if you're old enough to know, you know, Billie Jean King and the tennis guy, they played and Billie Jean beat him. And, you know, that was cool. That was like a sport that required, not only strength, but strategy, and Billie Jean beat him. And this isn't anything like that. This is like arm wrestling or wrestling or deadlifting or any of those things where testosterone truly gives the person with the most testosterone the edge, whether it's natural or injected. And, you know, a biological male who's an athlete is more than likely just going to be overall stronger than a female. Sorry if that hurts your feelings or if it doesn't make you feel good. But, I mean, now we're kind of seeing those facts play out. And it's not pretty. You know, it's kind of... it's kind of one of those times in history. Oh, yeah, Bobby Riggs. Thank you. Yeah, Billie Jean and Bobby Riggs. And he lost. You know, and he was a chauvinist. He was definitely a chauvinist. But at least he kind of admitted it straight out. But no, that's not what we're seeing now. Now we're just seeing males claim to be females and entering into events that they know they're going to beat the females at. That there's not really any competition. Hell, some of the women, young women, and competitors, they're just saying, yeah, I mean, I'm basically training for second place now, which is really sad, but it's also pretty accurate, you know, in those events that it's not like a certain kind of strategy is going to win you a sprint, right? It's not like you're going to sit back and think, okay, when they fire the starter pistol, I'm going to do something to beat this person next to me. No, you literally better be running the second that pistol fires or flag drops or whatever signal means go, and you better be faster than the person next to you. But that's not what's going on here. There's no strategy involved in swimming 500 meters, really. I mean, yeah, you got to make your turn at the right time if there's a turn involved. But really, as far as like outmaneuvering the competitors, it's basically a speed thing. You have to be faster at getting down the lane, turning around, and coming back. You have to be faster, which means you have to have bigger muscles. You have to have better processing of oxygen in those muscles, you know, and whatever. But, I mean, if you look at that guy compared to the two standing next to him on the podium, it's ridiculous. And I can't, here I am again wondering what the hell happened to the people in the 60s and 70s. You know, where are those women who could just flat out say, hey, no, guys, you're not welcome here. This is a women's event for a reason. I mean, it's not, I hate to say this, because this is going to sound chauvinistic, I'm sure. It's not like women are going to transgender into not even transgender, because that's not what's happening here. It's not like women are going to say, hey, I'm going to come over and enter the 6K against the top men in the world, runners, and I'm going to show them who's boss. There's probably a couple women who are really fast. But I bet they're not as fast. It's just different, man. It's just different. There's physiologically a difference. And I just can't believe that, you know, the heroes that we had in the 60s, 70s, and 80s aren't like screaming foul right now. I can't believe they're not saying, hey, no, men, you're not coming into this event. I don't care what you call yourself. You are not a female. So get the hell off my podium. Get the hell out of my sport. And why the world goes crazy for this little tiny sliver of society that call themselves whatever. And yes, I think everybody ought to have equal rights. I think everybody ought to live their lives, man, and do what you want to do without harming others. But I don't think we need to continually cancel people and get fired up at Disney, for crying out loud. Now, this actually made me laugh. Disney said they are going to take action against Texas. I was like, this is going to be good, man. This is going to be good. I can't. What are they going to do? Send the seven dwarves to San Antonio to kick some butt? Or Mickey Mouse. They're going to send Mickey Mouse to, what's that one place on the border? God, I always used to think about it. Anyway, yeah, Disney's going to take action against Texas. Oh my God, I got to make sure I have popcorn ready for this one. It ought to be interesting. Yeah, that's no kidding. The new Disney is brainwashing your kids if you let them watch that stuff. It's pretty crazy, man, what's going on. Never thought, in, you know, honestly, like growing up, I had a sister who is still extreme liberal. Like, her and I are 180 degrees opposite 100% of the time. I mean, I think sometimes her and I would argue about something just because the other one said whatever. And I'm not joking about that. I remember when she got a Prius, man, she was one of the first ones to get a Prius. And that was a long time ago. I don't know when they started making Priuses, but I bet it was in the 90s, maybe. Yeah, I think it was. It was back there a ways, man. And, man, I started telling my sister all the things wrong with driving an electric vehicle. And at that time, it was a hybrid. I don't know what they are now, but yeah, we would just get into it about, you know, she thought she was being so environmentally safe and everything. And I just made total fun of her and told her how many kids were probably injured in the mining of all the stuff that had to go into her batteries and how much damage the batteries were going to do to the environment when she had to get rid of that thing. And oh my God, she was just, but you know, here's the deal, but she was an advocate for women's rights. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, sis, what? Like, what happened? Like, why aren't you raising hell about this male who's dominating women's events? You know, honestly, why doesn't somebody just, like, you know, boot his ass out? You know, here's what they should do. Here's the redneck solution to this whole thing. Just have transgender events. I think that's the perfect solution. You can have men, you can have women, and you can have others. We don't care. We don't care what you call yourself. There you go. You have your own event. You have all of the record books wide open to you. Whatever you want to call yourself, you call yourself that, and you go participate in those events. We're going to keep the male events, we're going to keep the female events, and now we have the other events. I think that would cover everybody. Male, female, other. That would be a great solution if you ask me. Of course, nobody will ask me because they mostly won't hear me yet. Men, women, and mental cases. Seriously. Seriously, I don't know if you heard my show this weekend, which was kind of discombobulated because I was trying to put everything back together. But I said at the time, hey, if it's imaginary, I don't have to believe it one way or another. It's like telling me that, you know, there's a purple unicorn in my north pasture. Oh, good. That's good. Enjoy yourself with that purple unicorn. But I don't have to believe it because it's imaginary. You have a penis in your brain, but not on your body. Sorry. I don't have to play that game. That's truly a psychiatric thing. It's not a physical thing. It's imaginary. So I don't have to join in your little fantasy about what you think you are. Sorry, I don't. Yeah. Crazy, crazy times. But I cannot wait to see what Disney does with Texas. Do you think Texas gives a F about Disney? I mean, seriously, do they? Is there something I'm missing here that Texas needs Disney for, honestly? Texas doesn't even need the federal government of the United States for one damn thing. Not one thing. You think they need Disney? Seriously? Good luck, Disney. I just hope Disney remembers that all of the characters Disney invents, every last one of them, is fake. It's fictitious. It doesn't actually exist. They're cartoons. They're created characters. They're not real. Not one single one of them is real. And maybe what Disney is thinking is, hey, we're going to send in, well, whatever superheroes they have now to send in to fix Texas. Oh, it'll be good. That will be good. I love Texas. I've only been there a few times. I used to hate Texas and Texans until I understood them. I think they've got it figured out. I think. Oh boy. I think we covered all of the homestead updates, all of the kind of stuff going on around here updates. I did want to talk about one thing. Another kind of, not, it's kind of in the survival category, but I wanted to kind of point this out because this hit me square in the face about 20 years ago. I had a hunting buddy who was older than me, probably 20 years older than me, maybe 25, and he was in not great shape, but he liked being outdoors and doing stuff, but he had suffered a stroke and he'd had some issues, and I kind of became his buddy and started taking him. No, I started paying for him to go continue his life the way he wanted to, by going up to the woods for a month at a time and bow hunting. And I would go up on the weekends and, you know, we'd drive the roads. Usually he would send me out, you know, on some wild goose chase up an elk trail somewhere. And I started thinking one day, now then I was actually in really good shape. I was running about 60 miles a week. I was lean as hell, didn't have an ounce of fat on me, and I was in really good shape. And I started thinking to myself, man, if something happens to Dawn out here in the woods, like how far will I be able to carry him, if at all, because he was probably close to 400 pounds. I bet three something. You know, or how far would I be able to run to get help? Or, you know, if I had to save myself in the woods because I broke my leg, how far am I going to be able to drag myself by myself? So I was thinking, as we kind of go into whatever's coming next, right? Like, I don't know. This could be the worst year of all of our lives financially, supply issues, gas prices, war in Ukraine, Russia, the World War III, who knows, and who cares? As long as you're ready to take care of yourself. So I thought of two things that I think would be helpful for us all to work on. One is, like, think about how far can you walk today? And that's what kind of hit me in the woods with Dawn one day. It was like, man, we are literally 20 miles from a main road. Would I be able to walk all the way out of here in a day to get help? Now, I had other means of getting help at the time. I'm a ham radio operator. I always had a 2-meter radio with me, or 440 megahertz. So there were ways I could get help, but I thought to myself in those terms, well, what if I didn't have all this stuff? What if nobody answered the radio? What if? So I think if you figure out today, if you can't walk a couple miles, you should probably start thinking about walking a couple miles. You may not have to. You may be able to stay exactly where you are and not move, and that's okay. But it might be helpful to be able to move a couple miles if you had to get up and go for whatever reason. Natural disaster, you know, fires, floods, earthquakes, tornadoes, whatever. And the other thing I was thinking of is, can you lift your own body weight? Now, that's a big one, man. It's like doing pull-ups, right? Can you lift your own weight? I think that's a pretty good number to start with, because if you are responsible for surviving by yourself, you may have to lift your own weight. I mean, to climb out of somewhere, to climb up on something, to, you know, haul some stuff. It would be a good idea to know that you could lift yourself up if you had to lift yourself up. And then you would know anybody smaller than you, you could probably lift up if you had to. And I think those are two good basic physical measurements that you should take. Is like, how far can you walk, and can you lift yourself up? And you know, that's not difficult to achieve those two things, really. Well, it might be if you're really overweight and really out of shape. It might take a while to be able to lift yourself. But, I mean, I think it's two good goals to work toward. And, you know, a lot of us have other issues that would prevent us from doing that. I mean, my shoulders, I had shoulder surgery on one shoulder 2 years ago. Not replacement, not a tear. Just had to have some calcium stripped out of there, some deposits, because I couldn't really move my... I couldn't really move my shoulders that much. And then when you're trying to sleep at night, the pain was so intense, you couldn't really sleep. But after I had one shoulder done, I was like, yeah, I'm good. I think I'll skip the other one for a while. But I think I'm getting close to having to have the other one done. But I can still lift myself. It's just I probably won't unless I have to. Because, you know, the danger of doing some other damage is probably pretty high. But being able to lift some stuff. Today, my wife came down. She was going to get the truck and go get some dirt, right? And you know, it's kind of my fault. Instead of me taking her car and her just having the truck today, I took the truck to work and she came down and got it. And I was like, oh, we got to take the tonneau cover off. So I took the tonneau cover off. Well, I folded it up and she wanted to help me, but I didn't want her to get hurt. And I go, look, I'm just going to carry it across the street. That thing is heavy. So I didn't have her help me. And I mean, I'm in fairly good shape because I ride every day. I do a lot of stuff around the farm. So it's not like my parts have quit moving or anything, but I try to preserve them, you know, because I'm getting older and things just fall apart and fail on you without any notice. So she came down and I took the tonneau cover off and walked it across the street and across our parking lot and stood it up against the wall. And I thought it was damn near going to kill me. Cause mostly, I mean, ever since I bought a tractor, I really don't lift heavy stuff much around the farm, the homestead anymore. I pretty much use the tractor to lift everything because I don't want to. I don't want to lift heavy stuff, but I guess I still can if I want. Oh, my goodness. We are really cruising down on the time limit here. Nah, we're good. We got some minutes. I wanted to see what other stuff I had. Oh, yeah, Rachel Levine. I mentioned her. I mean him. Oh, and Hunter Biden's laptop. This was just the greatest news ever. You notice now, a couple years later, like, so in, what, 2 years? Yeah, like in 2 years, so much stuff has actually come true that a lot of people were banned from Twitter, from Instagram, from Facebook, from Google, from YouTube. All of this stuff is coming out as being true. It's crazy, but it's true. Hunter Biden's laptop has some dirt on it. And, you know, it's dirt that should in every way have prevented Biden from becoming president, but it didn't. And here's what I have to say about that. Like, I read these stories, I listen to these you know, people come on that are either, I don't know what they're doing. They're trying to stimulate people to vote, to take some action. And they say stuff like, this information on this laptop could lead to Biden's impeachment, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, stop. It's not going to. And even if it does, it's not going to get any better because you got Nancy Pelosi and Kamala Harris both right there ready to fill those shoes. So, sorry, stop with the pipe dreams. Yes, some dirt will probably come out. Yes, some heads will probably eventually roll. But we all know how long it takes for those kind of justices to come about. It's going to be forever. And, you know, you shouldn't be getting your hopes up that that's going to fix everything, because it's not going to fix everything. It may fix a couple things in the really short term, but it's not going to fix everything. And all that talk about, you know, right, voting never fixed a damn thing. Politics have never fixed anything, never once. And all the talk about whether Congress is going to fall back to the Republicans, to the conservatives or not. Man, stop with the whole idea that that's going to make, it hasn't made a difference in my lifetime. It has never made a difference, which is why I finally got to the point where I was disenfranchised enough to know, you know, and people will guilt trip you like crazy about voting, you know, like, hey, it's your civil right to vote. You know, if you don't vote, you can't complain. Guess what? I can complain all I want, whether I vote or not. Complaining isn't going to do anything either. Take charge, man. Do it yourself. You know, take charge of your life and do what you can for yourself. God, how did I get off? Oh, yeah, the Biden laptop. Oh, my God. And what else was there? There was a bunch of things. There was some votes that turned up. 10,000, 100,000 votes showed up, ballots that were never counted. There's people that are quitting their jobs, retiring, let's say, all of a sudden because these ballots turn up that didn't get counted. Let's see. Oh, yeah. And then I don't know if you guys all saw this plane crash in China. And it was kind of crazy because that plane literally nosedived straight into the ground. I guess there was some speculation that it kind of tried to level off for a second, but then it just went back to the nosedive. And then I see the next day, and actually it was on a pretty good source too. Let me see what source it was, if I can figure it out. No. I'd have to click on it. I don't want to click on it right now and take time away. We're wrapping it up here quickly. But anyway, so I think it was on Epoch Times, and they had a couple people on there speculating, purely speculating, why this plane crashed. And I was thinking to myself, why even Epoch Times, why are you doing this story? It's basically worthless. Because it's just talking to some people about what they think might have happened. Zero evidence. There's no evidence at the time that story was written. There's no black box. There was no in-cockpit communication. There was no cockpit-to-tower communication. There was no video of something striking the, you know, no radar. I mean, there was zero evidence other than this plane nosedived directly into some mountains. Vertically nosedived into the ground. So you can speculate all you want. Hell, I mean, just ask your buddies. Why do you think that plane went straight down, nose first, into the mountain? basically anything your buddies tell you is as good as anybody in this story. Oh, sure. Yeah, they may have had some flying experience. They might have been pilots. They might have worked for the FAA or NTSB or God knows who. But basically, it's speculation. Shut up. Shut up until you get some information that actually is going to mean something. Because really, right now, it's purely speculation. But you got to keep the narrative going. You got to, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. We got to tell the story and keep it going. You guys are always awesome. Thank you. And remember, you can catch the Redneck Dentist every Wednesday and Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern. And be sure and come in, check out the chat. You can catch the podcast live pretty much, I won't say anywhere you can get podcasts. You can find them on the bigger free speech platforms, that's for sure. But anyway, I will see you guys Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for joining me.